Bibles to Mark chapter 8. We're going to be in verses 34 through 38. I want to tell you guys as we are turning there this morning, I've never done this before, but about 2 weeks ago, I started preparing a sermon for Freeway Service last night. And it had been stuff about that I've been thinking about and dealing with, and I'm going to share some of that here in a minute. And I preached this service last night at Freeway, and I've never preached a service at Freeway and done the same service at our church the next morning, but I felt like we need this. We need to hear this morning here, just like they did last night. So that's what we're doing this morning. So if you were at Freeway last night and you didn't take notes, you'll be able to take notes today. But Mark chapter 8, 34 through 38 says this, "And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever should save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.'" Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning again that we could come here and worship you today, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for sending your Son to be the sacrifice for our sins this morning. And there's just no amount of words that I can say and gratitude that can come out of my heart this morning to show the thanks for that. Lord, this morning I ask that your Holy Spirit will convict each one of us here. Let us put blinders on where we're not looking at anybody else today, but we're focused on us and our relationship with you and where we're at right now in our relationship with you. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, how I got to where I'm at with this, 2 weeks ago, I had the honor of going to Marshfield High School and helping with the baccalaureate service at the school, which is an honor because it is and I'm proud of our school system that they still allow a baccalaureate service, and we do that because it is a Christian service that takes place at the school for the graduating class, and I had the honor of getting to do that. And as I was preparing some remarks for that service, it really kind of started getting at me that 20 years ago, this year, I graduated from Marshfield High School. And that 20 years has went by like that. And it's really, over the last couple of weeks, has really made me think about where I'm at in my life. And it's almost like I've been kind of having a midlife crisis over the last couple weeks. Now, it's not one where I've wanted to go out and buy a convertible Mustang and go invest in some hair growth or something like that. It's really not. It's not like that. It's been more of an evaluation with a spiritual one where I've had to ask myself, what am I doing? What am I doing? Who am I serving? Am I living for eternity? Or am I living for right now? Am I living for the King? Or am I living for what I want to do? Am I serving Jesus with everything that I have? And so it's made me ask some questions like that, that, you know, they aren't fun to ask, but our lives are over so quick. And you know, I'm going to be 40 in another year and a half, and my family... You guys are laughing, aren't you? My family history on my dad's side, we don't live that long. I mean, no one, in fact, in my dad's side of the family has lived past 70. So there's a good chance I'm probably not going to make it past 70. I don't know. God only knows. But I know that my life is probably halfway over right now. And it really made me think about where I'm at and the impact I'm having. And I know this morning we're off of the book of John. And I think there's just times. I like preaching through God's word because it... Every week it allows where I cannot skip anything. God's word is being taught. But there's sometimes I think when God lays something upon your heart and he has this message. And so I want to share that with you this morning. And what I want you to do as we go through this, I want to tell you, I think it's very, very challenging. It's challenged me over the last couple weeks. But I want you to focus this morning on you. I don't want you to focus on the person to the left of you or the right of you. I want you to focus on you. And I told Freeway this last night. We went to Seymour yesterday for Sydney's birthday. She had a little birthday thing over at Seymour at the YMCA, and the kids swam. But on the way over there, you see a lot of Amish buggies. And some of their horses, after they've been trained, and when they first start training a horse to walk on the road or even near the road, they put blinders on them. So they literally can't see out their peripheral vision. So they don't get distracted. They have to focus on, nothing scares them. So this morning, I want you to put blinders on, and I want you to focus on you and your relationship with Christ. I think a lot of times we start getting into God's Word, and when it gets challenging, we always want to compare ourselves to the person next to us, because when we do that, we always come out looking good, right? And so I want you to focus on your relationship with God this morning. And I want to share an illustration with you this morning that directly ties into this scripture. Francis Chan did this illustration of, I don't know, several years ago, quite a while ago. It's a pretty famous one. I want you to hand me that. I got some assistants up here this morning. Hand me that white rope there. There we go. All right, so I have, and we're going to string this thing out. I'm going to make a mess this morning across here. I have 50 feet of white rope here. And this white rope this morning, my assistant's kind of failing me this morning. No, I'm just teasing. It's Mike. We're going to blame Mike. I have 50 feet of white rope. And this white rope this morning is going to represent eternity. Now, let me say this morning that eternity is a lot longer than 50 feet. If this was a true, real, true illustration, this rope would go forever. And then there's this part that I'm going to hold in my hand this morning as I go through this. And this part that I've outlined in red tape is our lives here on this earth. And this part of this tape, as you see in relation to this big old long rope that's strung out everywhere, is extremely, extremely small. It's not big. And if you were to look at part of your life at the beginning is when you were born. And right now, I'm about halfway through that red part. And it's really made me think and ask myself some questions this morning about myself right now. And it's made me ask myself if I'm living my life for this part or this part. Am I living for right now in the moment, or am I living for eternity? You see, everything that we do and the decisions that we make in our lives on the red part affect everything else. They affect everything else. Who I follow, who I love, who I submit to, whether in Mark chapter 8 as we go back to Scripture and look, for whoever should save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Verse 34, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me and live for this part. So it causes us to ask some questions. Am I going to regret when I stand before God? And I want to make sure we understand this. We're going to read some scripture this morning that points this out. When I get to the end of my life here on earth, I'm going to stand before God. And I'm either going to have a lot of regrets or there's going to be a lot of reward. So I want to ask ourselves this morning, when I stand before God, am I going to have regret for how I live this life? Or is God going to reward me for how I live this life? Am I going to stand before God and be proud that I've watched, not me personally, I haven't, but maybe somebody, every possible season of Netflix on TV? That I've watched every single Denver Broncos game for the last 15 years. Am I going to be proud of those things? I'm going to have to account for my time, for what I do with my time, for what I study. Am I going to be proud if I slept in every Sunday morning when I should have been worshiping the Creator of the universe? I'm going to have to account for my time. Am I going to be proud of that? I'm going to have to account for the finances that God's given me and entrusted to me with. Am I going to be proud and be encouraged and be rewarded for how I spent my finances? Or am I going to be embarrassed and have regrets over how I live this life? What do I want? Literally, I've had to ask myself, am I living right now for eternity, or am I living for an earthly life? What do I want people to say at my funeral one day? That I made a difference for the kingdom, or that I live for what I wanted to do in this time? Are people going to say that I love Christ? Or are they going to say that he had more knowledge about useless football stuff than any human imaginable? That he could party with the best of them? Or are they going to look back and say he loved God with everything he had? That he taught his family to love with everything that he had? That he raised his family in a Christian home? That he loved his wife? So I've had to think about those things. And I want to say right now that there's things that I've done up till this point that I have major regrets on. And so I've had to kind of reset my compass and say, you know what? I want to make a difference for my family. I want to make a difference for the kingdom. I want to live for him. I don't want to live for what I want. I want to live for him. So that brings up the whole point of this sermon and where I'm going to go with the points in Scripture. How do I do that? I mean, how do I stop living for this and start living for this, for eternity? How do I do that, all right? And the first thing, guys, that we have to do, the first thing that we have to do is we have to change the way we think. I have to have a reprogramming of how I think. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And let me say, as you're turning there, that our mission at Crossbridge and at Freeway is to live for the kingdom, to live for eternity, to make a difference in somebody's life, in our workplaces. That should be our mission. It has to be our mission. That should be my mission at home. So how do I do that? I have to change the way I think about things. Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 24. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. Start with 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, and the futility of their minds. So let me stop there. Don't walk as somebody who's lost anymore. Stop walking like you're a lost man. Because that's who he's talking about, the Gentiles who are lost and the futility of their mind. Verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Their sin is hardened their heart. Verse 19, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. I need to change the way I think. I need to stop thinking like somebody who's lost and start thinking about like somebody who has the mind of Christ. Start thinking in the Spirit. I need to change my mind and the way I think. Well, how do I start doing that? This is how you start doing it. It begins through confession and ends with repentance. So Paul is saying here that I need to put off my former conduct, which he calls here the old man, that grows corrupt because of our sinful nature. I need to put off that and get away from that. I need to confess those sinful desires. I have sin in my life. I need to confess those to God and say, I'm not doing things the way you want me to do them. Now, Webster's Dictionary, I want to define some stuff here, defines confession as telling or making known a wrong. Telling or making known a wrong. In Greek, it goes even deeper. It means confess, means to speak the same thing. So speak the same thing. Well, the same thing is what? It means to basically call it exactly like it is. Not to change it, to make it more easy. Confession is speaking or calling it the same way that God calls it. You know what that means? It's calling sin, sin. It means it's calling sin, sin. Now, you may be saying, what do you mean? Here's some examples. It's not calling the sin of homosexuality an alternate lifestyle, which the world wants to do. It's calling it sin. It is what it is. It's sin. It's not calling drunkenness going out and having a good time. Well, we just want to go out and have a good time, you know, party it up a little bit. It's all good. No, no, it's drunkenness. It's sin. It's wrong. It's what Scripture says. It's calling it the same way as God calls it. It's not calling fornication and adultery messing around. It's calling it sin. Therefore, when we confess sin, it means you're seeing it the way God sees it. You don't try to make excuses for it. You call it like it is. So if we want our minds to start to be transformed, and your mind controls everything. It controls everything about you. If we want to be transformed, we have to make a choice. Am I going to continue to conceal the truth about who I really am behind closed doors? What my desires are? Or am I going to call it like God sees it? And be honest. Listen, we can lie to ourselves. You know, if you tell yourself a lie long enough, you start to believe it's the truth. You know, God never does that. He never thinks that it's the truth. He knows that it's a lie. So we have to get to a point where I start changing the way I think about my sin, and I have to confess them. Now, Solomon here explains the results of each one of these. In Proverbs 28:13, he says, "He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." Wow. Those are in contrast. Those are in contrast. The idea of renouncing our sin, now we confess, we agree with God, it's sin, it's wrong. All right, now what do I do with that? I don't make excuses for it. I repent of the sin. Now in this scripture, Apostle Paul went on to tell the church that their desire should be to put on a new wardrobe or a new man, right? That should be our desire. And that is the person that God created us to be in the first place. Adam and Eve brought sin into the world. When God got done creating Adam and Eve, Adam, what did he say? It's very good, right? That was his intentions from the very beginning, right? And our desire should be, I want to change this. I want to stop living for this, and I want to live for this. I want to change this. I have to change it. I want to change it. And listen, God is in the changing business. He can change your desires. He can change the way you think. Now let me say this morning, there's a lot of programs out there that can help you. A lot of programs of the world that can help you with whatever you're going through. You know, if you have a drug or alcohol problem, there's a lot of programs of the world that can help you stop drinking and using drugs. And you can be clean. But then you're taking that hole that's in your life that you're filling up with drugs or alcohol or pornography or relationships or anything that's a void there because of not Christ, and instead you're going to fill it with something else of the world that's going to make you feel good temporarily. It's going to make you feel good. So you may take alcohol, and instead of being an alcoholic, you may start, man, I'm going to replace that habit with going out and shopping a whole bunch or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, there's still a hole there. There's still a void. You're just exchanging the hole and filling it with something else. That, you know what that is? That's behavior modification. You've modified your behavior to something that's more acceptable of the world. I'm not into behavior modification. I am into gospel salvation. And the Bible says there's only one way, and that is to repent of your sin. Ezekiel 18:30 says, "Repent and turn from your transgressions so that iniquity will not be your ruin." It will not be your ruin. Repentance is a Hebrew word that means to turn. To turn from the way you're going and to start walking in the will and the way of God. You know what it means in Greek? To have a change of mind. And we're talking about our mind. I have to change the way I view God. I have to change the way I view sin. I have to change the way I view eternity and stop living for this and start living for this. You see, everybody is going to spend eternity somewhere. Everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere. And the decisions and the choices that I make right here are going to affect all of this. And it's crazy. It is crazy how we will work our whole lives as hard as we possibly can to gather some money to live for 15 years right here. Now, there's nothing wrong with being retired. I want to retire one day. I want to use my retirement one day and hopefully have more time to serve the kingdom. But we'll work ourselves bone dead trying to get to this point in our lives instead of focusing on this point of our life. And people will look at that and say, well, you're crazy. I think they're crazy. I want to live for this. I want to live for that. I don't want to live for my life right now. I just don't. So I need to change the way I think. I have to change the way I think. Now listen, this isn't just a salvation message. This is for a message for the church. The American church wants to live for this. They want to live for their time right now. We want to make sure we have the best groups and the best bands and the most numbers and all this stuff instead of worrying about eternity. And that they're teaching the gospel and preaching the gospel. We have to start worrying about eternity and not our life right now. So I need to change the way I think. Now, when I start to change the way I think, and that's the first thing. Now, how do I start? I've changed the way I think. Now I want to start. Listen, I want to start living for eternity. I want to start living my life for this. So what do I do? How do I do that? I need to start meeting people's needs. I need to start meeting the needs of others. Listen, our society, our world teaches us to look out for me. Look out for number one. You're number one, you look out for you. You take care of you, you got it, right? That's what the world says. That's not what Scripture says. We're taught to look. That's not the way of Christ. If I want to make an impact for my community, if I want to make an impact on my family, I need to start thinking about them over myself. I need to stop thinking about me and what I want and my desires, and I need to start thinking about other people. Philippians 2:4 says, "Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also the interest of others." Now that verse there doesn't necessarily mean to put others before yourself, but Paul does address that. He goes on, even it says more in Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, he says this, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up, for even Christ did not please himself." So we're told to show the same grace and mercy that Christ showed us. That's how we're supposed to treat other people. That when they're down and they're going through trials in life, to show them the same grace and mercy to those who are going through the same thing. I didn't even talk about this last night, but I was so proud of one of our youth here this week. I heard one of our youth this week did something awesome. There was somebody on the way, they were on their way to school. And I'm not going to mention them because I don't want to embarrass them. But they were on the way to school, and one of the students at the high school was broke down, and their vehicle was smoking. It was smoking. And that high school student happened to be somebody who was a part of the new pride group at school, which is the homosexual pride group at school. And one of our youth here, like people were driving by him, right? And one of our youth pulled over and said, "Can I help you? Anything I can do for you? Any somebody you need me to call? You want me to give you a ride to school?" When everybody else is driving by, a Christian goes out of their way to meet somebody else's needs. They look out after somebody else. I was so proud when I heard that. I was so proud when I heard that. We need to be there. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. So I want you to think back to the trials and struggles that you have went through in your life. It may be death of a loved one. It may be disease. Whatever it is, we all have trials and struggles that we have every day, right? We didn't go through those for just anything. A lot of times we go through stuff like that because we live in a sinful, fallen world. And there's sin. And hey, here's the deal, guys. I'm telling you, I brought this up last night. These school shootings are absolutely horrible. They're horrible. There's nothing else to be say besides they're just absolutely horrible. You know the problem? You know the problem with the school shootings? Sin. Sin. There's no way as a follower of Jesus that I would ever think of taking a gun and killing somebody. They need Christ. How is our sinful, fallen world going to hear about Jesus unless we start meeting their needs where they are? Meeting their physical needs. How is this young lady who is lost and dying, a homosexual who has given in to temptation and the sins of the world, going to ever find Christ unless one of our youth pulls over and helps her with her car? You see, I need to start thinking about other people. And when I go through trials and struggles and Christ carries me through those, I can learn from that trial and struggle and help somebody who's going through the same thing. That's what our mission at Freeway is all about. That's what Crossbridge is all about. It's about making a difference in the community for Christ and His glory. It's all about making a difference and meeting legitimate needs. And we don't always know why we're going through something. And we don't always know the purpose behind it. We just don't know. God doesn't always show us why we're having these difficulties or problems or trials. And sometimes these struggles are our own doing because we've sinned and we've done things wrong and we're paying for them. But I think sometimes when we're going through trials and struggles, it's to see if we're going to remain faithful to Him and the calling that He has on our lives as followers of His. If we're going to persevere, are we going to persevere and follow Him? Are we going to help others when they're going through that time of need? Listen, when somebody else is struggling, let's be honest with you this morning. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with alcohol or drugs, go talk to Mike Estelle. Go talk to Jonathan. Go talk to Ben. They've been there. They've done it. And through Christ, they're free of that. If you're here this morning and you are a bump on a log as a follower of Jesus, and you are a professed Christian, but you are not doing anything for the kingdom, and you want to get on fire, come talk to me. I've been there. I've done it. I've been there. I know where you're at. I've been there. That's why we go through what we go through, so we can help people that are struggling. They can relate to somebody that's struggling on drugs. I can relate to somebody who's grown up in a Christian home, and they're not serving the kingdom. I was there. Sometimes I feel like I'm still there. I need to do more. We go through these difficulties. We need to be there for one another. I need to meet other people's needs. Jesus gave us walking orders. He gave us walking orders to help people in need. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, visit people who are sick in prison. It's not just when it's convenient. We're supposed to do it. And what does he say? Matthew 25:40, I say to you, as much as you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So when we're out serving other people's needs, we're serving Jesus. We're serving Jesus, just like we're meeting his needs. Now listen, not only are we supposed to pray for people and meet their physical needs, it can't stop there. Because if I just meet a physical need, great, I've fed them for the day. I've helped them with their rent for the month. Awesome. But they're still in sin and death, and they're going to go to hell. Listen, there's two ropes here this morning. You know why there's two ropes? Hand me the other one. And I don't have red tape on the other one, but there's two ropes. One's white and one's black. Let me guess. Guess what the black one is. It's eternity too. It's an eternity in death and hell, and that's the truth. When you die and you stand before God, you are either going to go to heaven and receive reward, or you will be in punishment for eternity in hell. Guys, that's the truth. That is the truth. So what's the third thing? I better share the gospel. Not only am I going to meet physical needs, I better share the gospel. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Now, there's a lot of Christian ministries and organizations that do a great job of providing food and shelter and assistance, but then they stop there and they miss the most important point, and that's to share the gospel. That's to share the gospel. When we do outreaches, when we hold Freeway every Saturday night, we feed a meal. We have a free clothing store where we try to help people if they have clothing, have clothing needs. We do all those things. But if we stopped right there, we're failing. I need to share the gospel with them. It's great that we provide clothing, but I need to share the gospel. I need to take care of the spiritual. And that's the parallel scripture to Mark 8:36 is Luke 9:25. "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and him himself is destroyed or lost?" What does it profit a man if I gain the entire world and yet I die and I am in eternity in hell? Think about that. What does it profit us if we are the wealthiest person on this earth right now? One day we're all going to die. Tristan said a week ago to me, I think it was you, he said, "I love the book of Ecclesiastes because it's like chasing the wind." That's what Solomon says. The wealthiest man who ever lived in all of history, King Solomon, said wealth and houses and vineyards and all that, it's just stuff. It's just like chasing the wind. It don't matter because one day we're all going to die, is what he says, summing it up, right? I need to stop worrying about this and start worrying about this. When I talk to people, I need to start worrying about their life, where they're going to spend it here and not here. I have to share the gospel. We have got to share the gospel. And if I was to sum up the gospel message, and I'm going to share the gospel this morning, because I have a feeling there's probably somebody here that needs Christ. If I was to sum up the gospel message, it's this, that everyone is separated from God by sin. Everyone has sinned. How many lies have we told in this room? And I don't say it out loud. How many times have you stolen? I called my mom out last night. My sweet little mother stole gum when she was a kid, right? I bet you I could look some of our sweet ladies in this church and know that they've stolen something. How many times have you looked at a woman with lust? You've committed adultery. I've only talked about three sins. We're in trouble. We're separated from God because of sin. And because of that separation, there's death. And it's not just a physical death. Remember our black robe? It's an eternal death. See, you're either a black robe this morning, or you're going to be the white robe. You're one or the other. There's a punishment for that. God sent his son Jesus to die in our place so that whoever believes in him has eternal life instead of death. Now, how do I share that message? I told everybody last night, it's kind of like when you go to the jewelry store. Now, fellas, I shared this last night, I'll share it with you again. The way to a woman's heart is not jewelry. I said last night, it's Andy's ice cream. And my wife, after the service, reminded me, it's for you to be sweet to me, is what she said. So, fellas, Andy's ice cream and sweetness, okay? That'll get it done, right? But if you go to a jewelry store, some of the ladies are shaking their hand going, "No, we want the jewelry." You go to a jewelry store, they lay out, what do? When you ask to look at a piece of jewelry, they lay out a black cloth. And they put this really shiny piece of jewelry on the black cloth. So it pops out at you, it sparkles, right? I mean, it looks good, it sparkles. That is how we should present the good news of Christ. We start by displaying the good news in direct opposition to the bad news. And the bad news, the black piece of cloth, is sin. It's sin that there is a punishment for. Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." and his righteous standards. The wages of sin is death. The bad news continues when we realize that there's no way in ourselves for us to make that right with God. There is no possible way. No one is righteous for God. You can't pay the price. It's way above our pay grade. You can't, there's nothing you can do by deeds to earn that price. You can't do it. That's where Jesus comes in. That Jesus came, he lived and he died, so our price can be paid. And he did that. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the only way. That's it. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's it. Jesus is the only way. Islam, sorry, it's wrong. Atheism, being a good guy, it's wrong. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19, my last scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19. Remember, the point here is to share the good news, right? 18 says this, all this from God through Christ, all this from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us, to us, the message of reconciliation. So, Christ reconciled the world to himself, lost to himself, but what did he give us as a ministry? A ministry of reconciliation. That we share that. We share with people how to get their lives right with Christ. If you want to make a positive influence in somebody's life for eternity, for this, if I want to make a difference in somebody's life for this, I share with them the gospel. If I want to let them have a good day, I take them out to lunch or I give them a $10 bill. If I want to make a difference in their life, I have to share the gospel with them. That's the whole point. I have to share the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. God has committed to us this message, this gospel message of how people can be made right with him through faith in Jesus Christ. Confession of their sins. Repentant faith, that they turn from their sin and put their faith and trust in God. That is the greatest thing that I can share with somebody today. That is the way that I can start sharing this message where people can live for eternity and not live for this. Listen, I'm going to close. I'm going to ask guys to come forward. I've thought a lot. The last 2 weeks, I've thought a lot about whether I'm living for this or if am I living for this. Are there things in my life that I do that I'm thinking about right here instead of here? And I've had to think about things. You know, next year my oldest daughter is going to be a senior in high school. I've had to ask myself, have I done a good job with teaching her about Christ? Have I done a good job? Is she prepared for the world? All these things I've had to evaluate in my life. Am I living for the kingdom? Because one day when my life's over, nobody's going to remember what kind of house I had, what kind of car I had, how much money I made. No, that's important. No one's going to remember that. What's going to be said is that I serve the kingdom. When I stand before God, all the other stuff, it don't matter. It don't matter. I'm either going to have regret on how I use my time, my finances, my relationships, or I'm going to have reward because Christ was first in all of it. I encourage you this morning, if you haven't already, and I hope you have, to think about these things. My prayer, what I want to hear more than anything and a verse that's really stuck with me. What I want to hear when I stand before God is Matthew 25:21. It says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, so I'm going to set you over much. Enter into joy of your master." Am I going to hear that? If I'm living for this, I have to start changing the way that I think. If I have repentant faith, it means I'm living for this and not this. Do I really help people in their time of need? Am I there for people? Do I put my money where my mouth is on helping people, on feeding people, on clothing them? And even then, what good is it if I've fed somebody and I've clothed somebody, if they're full, their stomach's full, they're well clothed, but they still end up in hell? What good have I done? That's why the third thing, I need to share Christ. I need to share my faith and my belief in Him. I need to do that with everybody I talk to, how they can be made right with God as a result. So my question I ask you this morning is, we have an invitation. I'm going to ask you to stand. The first is, have you put your faith and trust in Christ? Have you confessed your sin, repented of your sin? Have you asked Him to be your Lord and Savior of your life? If you haven't, I can't tell you. There's nothing I can tell you today besides put your trust in Him, that He paid for your sins. If you haven't done that, there's no white rope. There's no white everlasting life for you. When your life's over, you die, you stand before God, there's punishment. And I'll tell you the same thing John the Baptist used to say: flee from the wrath to come. Flee from the wrath to come. If you're here and you're a follower of Christ, have you been living for this instead of this? Have you been living for your life right now? Are you teaching your kids to live for this? Or are you teaching them to live for this? I'm going to ask our elders, I'm going to ask Josh to come. You guys stand over here. If you need to pray with us, we'll pray with you. If you want to pray by yourself, you can come over here and pray by yourself. If you have a decision you need to make, I'm going to tell you, don't wait. Don't wait. We're not promised tomorrow. Scripture says today's the day of salvation, not to wait. Nobody here is promised tomorrow. If my life ended this afternoon, what would I regret? What would I be rewarded for? The things that I would regret, here's the awesome opportunity that you have. God's mercy and His grace and His provision has given you a chance to change the things that you would regret today, right now. Do it. Let's pray and then we'll sing. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. I thank you for challenging me over the last 2 weeks. Lord, if there's people here this morning that need you, that need to submit to you, to make a commitment to you, to have repentant faith and to turn to you and never look back, I ask, Father, your Holy Spirit will reach them right now and they will come down and make that decision today. Lord, I ask as our brothers and sisters that are here this morning, as the church, Lord, I ask that you soften our hearts to the things that we need to get better at. That are we living for eternity, or are we going to have regrets? And those things that we have regrets over, Lord, that we will put them at your feet and we will start living our lives how you've called us to live them. Lord, we love you. We want you to get all the praise and all the glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender. To Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender to His name. power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, there is, and is to come. All creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
So the benediction today is Philippians 4:7. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Hope you have a great day with your families. Tonight, prayer group, ladies prayer group, 5:15, Bible study at 6 o'clock for men and women. Josh, would you close us in prayer?